We're so glad you're here tonight, and let's start the service with hymn 309, 309, Our Great Savior, Jesus, What a Friend for Sinners. Standing, everyone, if you would. One of the great, great hymns in the book. Hymn 309, together singing,
Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends, they fail me. Foes assail me. He, my Savior, makes me whole. Sing hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Save me, help me, keep me.
Together, Jesus, what a help in sorrow. Fifth verse, hymn 309, everyone.
Jesus, I do now receive him more than all in my mind. He hath granted me forgiveness. I am his and he is mine.
Song talks about and has the word hallelujah in there. I like that. That I enjoy saying hallelujah because that just covers everything from praise the Lord to glory to God. And but thank you for being here tonight. Boy, I hope you've enjoyed your afternoon. And this day has come so quickly over the last 10 months. For those of you that are visiting with us, this entire day is dedicated to our senior pastor, Dr. Smith, who is officially retiring today. As someone came to me and said, Brother Todd, you'll be the preacher, pastor, after the service. I said, no. It's still October the 17th until 12:01. 12:01, then we can say something about it. But I'm so glad that you're here. If you're visiting here with us tonight and you're a special guest and here for Dr. Smith's retirement service and tonight, God bless you. For being here. We're so happy that you're here, and we're looking forward to getting to meet you and during our greeting time. And again, God bless you for being a part. As you know, our Spanish department is here with us tonight, and we're so happy that they're here, and God bless you folks. They're spread everywhere from the balcony to the translating room to the interpreting room to bottom floor. But isn't it a good feeling kind of good feeling to have a unified service from time to time, and I enjoy that. But if you're visiting with us tonight, we'd like a record that you were here on this retirement Sunday night for Dr. Smith, so he'll know that you were here. Our ushers have visitors cards at this time, so if you're not a member here of the Trinity Baptist Church, we ask if you'd be seated and take a visitor's card, fill it out if you would please. And if you're already attending church somewhere, we're not going to bother you. We just want to know that you are here so that we can send a letter out to you thanking you for being a part of this special service here at Trinity Baptist Church. Now listen, folks, while the ushers are taking care of this, we had a blast on Friday at the retirement banquet. But that was kind of for folks who came in from outside, preacher friends. But tonight we're going to have a blast. And we're going to enjoy good preaching. We're going to enjoy good fellowship. We're going to go across and here in just a little while and just enjoy ourselves around the Lord and honor a man who's worthy of honor. And so we're going to do it, and we're going to do it the right way tonight. So I hope that you get up here. What I want you to do, I don't want you to amen the preacher so much. He'll get so exhausted. Because you know what preachers do? The more you amen, you know, they kind of kick it up a level. So ladies, tonight, get those fans out. And I mean, when he says open your Bible, just start waving the fans. All right? Because we're gonna get him to kick it up and shift up into high gear tonight. And let me read you quickly, church, if I could, a special thank you card from one of our dear members. It says, "Dear preacher, or Brother Lassiter, and church family, thank you so much for the prayers and cards and encouraging words you gave my family during the difficult time concerning the death of my father. And my brother. I don't know how my mom and I were so strong, but God's grace is always sufficient. Thank you so much for your enduring love." And that's from Jennifer and Rita Collins. And I wanted to share that with you on behalf of that dear family. Well, take your hymn book, if you would. Once again tonight, hymn number 13. Hymn number 13, "The Longer I Serve Him." Boy, I'm telling you, that is such a great truth. Hymn number 13. Brother Sam, come and lead. Amen.
Think about these words. "The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows." 13, singing.
"Since I started for the kingdom, since my heart recalls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The more that I love Him, the more He bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows." Singing, "Every need is supplying, a plenteous grace He bestows. My way begins brighter the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The more that I love Him, more love He bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows."
Wonderful. Thank you, and be seated. Choir, you can be seated. One of our ladies, Ms. Laura Ayers, wrote a song to honor our preacher. And tonight she's going to come sing that, Miss Laura Ayers. Thank you, Ms. Laura. Wonderful song. Thank you for the effort on that. Let's stand and sing this chorus, His Name is Wonderful, 254 in the hymn book. And while we're singing in the choir, we want you to turn around and find some folks around you and welcome them to the service and tell them you're glad to see them tonight. And then you'll join with us after we sing it through a couple times. His Name is Wonderful. Welcome folks around you.
His name is wonderful.
This name is one.
Well, we're singing 254, His Name is Wonderful. Join together with us singing,
His name is wonderful, His name is wonderful. My Lord, sing about Him now. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Sing
bow down before Him,
love and adore Him. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord.
Amen. And what a great song. Boy, so much is happening around here in our church, and people are starting churches and taking churches, and God's doing some great things, using people. Tomorrow morning, Brother and Mrs. Napo Flores, Napo and Esther, right here in the center, up here in the balcony out of our Spanish department, will be heading as missionaries to Honduras, flying out tomorrow and heading to do God's will for their life. Isn't it exciting to be around folks and church? God's calling people out. If you're not careful now, He'll pluck you right out of the congregation too and put you somewhere as well. But that's all right. Hey, that's a good way to send people out into the field. I'm going to ask Pastor James Raspberry if he would come. He's been a dear friend of our pastor for years and years and years. Brother Raspberry, would you come and ask God's blessing on our offering tonight? God bless you.
Welcome. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You for this day. We thank You for Brother Smith, what he's meant to us, what he's meant to my life and my family. And, Lord, it's a bittersweet thing to see him retire from the pastorate. Lord, I pray You bless him tonight as he preaches to us. I pray give him your anointing, your power. Thank You for this great church. And for the many, many years it has stood strong and seen so many thousands of people saved. I pray You bless Brother Lassiter in the years ahead. And Lord, just pray now You bless this offering. And for we ask it in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Perez sisters. Tonight's music, special music, has been influenced by Mrs. Smith, and we wanted to be a blessing to her. Hymn 131 is our national anthem. We sing a patriotic hymn every Sunday morning, Sunday night. We want to remember to pray for our country, our leaders, our troops. And tonight, if you'll turn there, we'll sing our second verse, the second verse, "Oh, thus be it ever when free men shall stand." So if you'll stand, face the flag, and let's honor our country as we sing the second verse together.
Oh, thus be
can be seated as the choir sings.
To redeem the price you must pay, I
Thank you, choir. Almighty Lamb. Let's sing 255, the old-time religion. That's what Brother Smith's been about. And we'll make up some verses as we go along here. And if you'll stand, we like to sing, Give Me That Old-Time Religion. That'll be all right if you want to say that. Sing together. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough. It was good for our mothers. It was good for our mothers. It was good for our mothers. It's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It has saved our fathers. It has saved our fathers. It has saved our fathers. It's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good. All right. It's good for our preacher singing. It is good for our preacher. It was good for our preacher. It was good for our preacher. It's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It's good for Miss Preacher. All right, be over there. So I think that'll fit in there. Ready? It is good for Mrs. Preacher. It is good for Mrs. Preacher. It is good for Mrs. Preacher. It's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Well, this is a good one. Makes me love everybody. I hope so. Singing. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. It's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Thank God it'll do when I'm dying. Everybody, it will do when I'm dying. It will do when I'm dying. It will do when I'm dying. It's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time. It's good enough for me. Wonderful. 179. Great is thy faithfulness. Talks about the Lord. It's actually 177. But I think he could refer to our preacher. Great is thy faithfulness. 177. Singing. Great is thy faithfulness. O God, my Father, there is no shadow turning within. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been the form. Last verse, everyone. Pardon for sin and peace that endureth. That's right. Let's. Singing tonight. Thank you. Be seated. The Lasters are going to have a duet tonight.
Darkness, Jesus found me, touched my eyes and made me see. Broke since chains that long had bound me, gave me life and liberty. Oh, glorious love of Christ, my Lord divine, that made him stoop to save a soul like mine. Through all my days and then in heaven above, my song will silence never. I'll worship him forever and praise him for his glorious love. Oh, amazing truth to ponder, host attend. Lord of heaven, God's Son, what wonder! He became the sinner's friend. Oh, glorious love of Christ, my Lord divine, that made him stoop to save a soul like mine. Through all my days and above, my song will silence never. I'll worship him forever and praise him for his glorious love. My song will silence never. I'll worship him forever and praise him for his glorious love. And praise him for his glorious love, and praise him for his glorious love.
Amen.
Sorry, guys, we didn't tell you we were doing this. I just took the liberty to do it. I knew this day would come some 10 months plus ago, but I didn't realize it would come so quickly. It seems like the time has passed so quickly, and I just want to say how much I appreciate the 23 years that I've had to serve under a man like Dr. Smith. He's taught me basically everything I know about the ministry, everything I know about loving people, ministering to people, winning souls. And I know there are others that have had investments, but none greater than the man that we're about to hear one more time to preach to us as our pastor. I cannot tell you, preacher, how much you mean to me. And you don't understand the heart of a man that will love you through thick and thin, that believes in something. You know, sometimes you look at yourself, you say, I don't know, I don't understand. Why does the preacher believe in me? I know me, just like you know you. But for some reason, he believed in me. And he kept me around for 23 years. I had no idea what I was doing those early stages of ministry, but the preacher loved me through everything, through thick and thin. And I have an indebtedness and a gratitude to this man that no one can ever understand. And I want to thank you, church, also for loving our pastor, for being an easy folks to preach to love, to care for. And I'm going to miss the preacher's preaching. And now he'll preach. He'll be around. But he's going to be doing a lot of traveling. And I'm going to miss those week in and week out sermons. But I tell you, what he's burned and instilled in my soul will be there forever. Amen. Just like he has in your soul. Amen. So I want to introduce one more time as our pastor and the man of the ages. It'll never be forgotten what the mark that he's made on my life and on your life. And Dr. Smith, I want to tell you how much I love you. Amen. Appreciate everything. God bless you. Come preach to us.
Amen. Love you, brother. Thank you. Be seated. Please be seated. You bunch of dingbats on the front row, that's the only sermon some of you have remembered out of 24 years of preaching. You'd have had one, but you didn't remember it. The sermon title they are referring to there was, God, give me the sense of a goose. And I had a little horn I'd honk like a goose, and that was right up their alley. It was on their level. I preached on some things I learned from my dog the next week, and they didn't get any of that. So I want our sound men, those of you that have worked in the sound room, would you stand, please? Two up there, one back here, one over here, and a couple aren't here tonight. But I want to say thank you for helping me week in and week out in the sound room. Thank you for having a better spirit on many occasions than I had. And even after I hollered or fussed, you still had a sweet spirit about it. Thank you very, very much. And I know that you're looking forward to some relief. But it probably won't come, because all sound men need help and correction from time to time from the pulpit. But thank you, men, so very, very much. God bless you. You can be seated. Open your Bibles tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I appreciate all that you've done, the cards, the song, the songs. I appreciate your kind words. Many of you being here, Brother James, you'll never know what it means to know you left your pulpit in church tonight to be here. Thank you. God bless you. The Lord deserves that kind of honor. I don't. A man doesn't. And I want you to know that I know that anything that God has done here these 24 years and 1 month has been God and His glory. He's the one that gets the glory. And I hope you'll always remember that. The man of God is just privileged to be the vessel, the instrument in His hands. And without Him, we're nothing. Without Him, we can do nothing. So I want you to understand that. And I am excited about this church and its future. See, I know that I'm a country boy that came to town to a big city. And all of these years, I've always felt like, man, I'm out of place. I'm over my head. And God always had to bail me out. But in that, I've learned that in my weakness, He is strong. And in my weakness, He can get the glory. And I hope you know and will remember that if the ministry of Bob Smith has ever been intended for anything, it's intended to show you that God can use anybody if you'll simply yield to Him. You'd be surprised what God could do with you if you'd allow Him to have His rightful place in your life and in your heart. And I want to thank our Spanish department for being up here tonight. God bless you. You've been a blessing to this preacher down through the years, and we're rejoicing at what God has done. And we believe your best days are also ahead of you. And I'll say something a little bit further in the message to you and to you about the future of this church. And I hope you'll listen on purpose. It's not my purpose to chide you tonight, but simply to let you know what God wants to do through you and with you if you'll be willing to allow Him to. If you found your place in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, would you stand with me, please, and I shall begin to read in verse number 1. May I say to you that Paul is writing to a local New Testament church, the church at Corinth. He's not writing to people who have departed and gone on. He's writing to a real, living church and the members that make up that church. He's writing to them and he's writing to us. The Bible says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? And Paul says, but we have the mind of Christ. Heavenly Father, help me tonight in these next few minutes as we look at these precious verses that we've read. And help us, Lord God, to get an understanding of what you have available for us if we'll yield our life to you and learn to walk in the power and the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Open our ears and our hearts tonight. Do a work in us. Set our souls on fire that we might do your work faithfully and fervently, passionately, and effectively. Lord, I pray your blessings upon Trinity Baptist Church, that every aspect of this church ministry will see your blessings and experience growth from the hand of God Almighty. I pray your blessings upon Brother Lassiter. God, fill him, guide him, give him wisdom beyond his years, that he might lead this church and this people in the future to the greatest days and the greatest victories this church has ever known. I pray for our Spanish department, Lord, that you would fill Brother Gonzalez with thy Holy Spirit and give him men with vision and faith to stand with him. And may they, Heavenly Father, reach new ground and new attendance records and reach the Spanish people that have moved into our area and know not God. Bless them. Now, Lord, help me tonight to say what needs to be said in this final message as pastor of Trinity Baptist Church. And may you burn it in our minds and in our heart and move us to that place where we're willing to dedicate ourselves to live for you, to serve you, and to fulfill your purpose and will for our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. What I've read to you tonight is the basis for my final message here as pastor. The Apostle Paul is writing to a local church that he loved very much. And yet it was not a very strong or spiritual church he was writing to. In fact, every chapter of 1 Corinthians is written to correct problems that were in the church. Trinity Baptist Church, I believe, is a far better church spiritually than this church at Corinth at Paul's writing. Like so many today, the Corinthians were content to have church as they were in their carnal, non-spiritual condition. Paul is writing to them that God has far more for them as Christians and as a local church than they're experiencing or they're willing to claim. Paul tells them plainly that they're missing the power and blessings of God because of their carnality and their worldliness, their choices in lifestyle. He reminds them that they cannot comprehend what he is telling them because he has come to them in the Holy Spirit, and they're still in the flesh, trying to comprehend spiritual things with natural minds and carnal minds. But Paul tells them in verse 14 that the natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And Paul is telling them very plainly that God has far more available for them as Christians and as a church than they're receiving from him. That's one of the sad things that's happening today. We are content to live on the level of our spiritual life without desiring growth and learning and becoming more and more like him. Do you think you are what God wants you to be? Do you think your growth has reached the pinnacle that God desires for you? Oh, God forbid. None of us should be satisfied until we awake in his likeness, until we're like him. I'm here to tell you that God has far more for us than we're claiming, than we're receiving. I want you to look at verse number 9, at what Paul tells this church. He says in verse number 9, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Now, as I get into my message tonight, I want to just move through chapter 2 and use some of these verses. May I say, verses 1 through 5, I think, is a good representative of my testimony and was my desire when I came here as your pastor more than 24 years ago. Look at it, if you will. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." May I say to you that I think represents my heart and my testimony when I came here 24 years ago. "Neither then nor now do I come with excellency of speech or of man's great wisdom. The truth is, I'm a country boy. I don't know how to fix our country, but I know God who knows how to fix our country. I do not know how to fix your broken life, but I know God who knows how to fix your broken life. I do not come to you with excellency of speech or of man's wisdom. I came as simply a country preacher called by God, declaring to you the word of God. I came determined and with the help of a few faithful men and women here at Trinity Baptist, not to allow the forces trying to take over this church to succeed. I came determined to preach Jesus and him crucified. I came in fear and trembling, knowing my own weaknesses and my own frailty. I did not come depending on my abilities, my personality, or my talents, but I came depending on him. I came relying on the power of the Holy Spirit of God, and anything that's been accomplished in 24 years has been accomplished because of Him and His power. I know that, and you need to know that, and know that what God can do with a country boy from Myrtle Springs, God can do with anybody who's willing to yield their life to the Savior and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Verse number 5 was my goal. For it was my goal that your faith might not be in me or in any man, but in the wisdom, power, and promises of God and His Word. Look at verse number 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, in some people over these 24 years, I've been able to see some success and victory in this area. You trusted Jesus, and you've grown to follow Him. You've grown to follow His Word and follow His will for your life. Others, no matter how hard I have tried, have only followed me and not the Lord. As I grew older and decreased in energy and personal enthusiasm, they looked for another man to follow. They went out from us because they were not of us. This has been my greatest heartbreak in the 24 years of ministry here, to see people that I've poured my life into turn and walk away and go away contrary to where we stand and what the Bible teaches. But you're here. You're here as members and leaders of this church. After tonight, you'll have a new pastor. You'll have a pastor with vision and zeal and faith and a personal walk with God. Because you've grown beyond the place of just following me or just any other man, you'll follow Him as He follows Christ. As He walks with God, you'll walk with Him and serve with Him. And you'll enjoy blessings and victories that have been in my heart and in my dreams that I've not yet realized. And listen, I want that for you. I do not want to walk out of here tonight as your pastor and this church never grow or go beyond where it is now. I want this to be just the starting point for you. And for you to enjoy the blessings of God in such a way that you've never dreamed or experienced or understood before. Mrs. Smith and I intend to follow the leadership of our pastor as he follows God. And I expect you, if you are what I think you are, will do likewise. Humanly speaking, the future of Trinity Baptist is in your hands as you walk in the Word of God and in the will of God. Now, look at verse number 9. Paul says to this church, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." Here is God's promise to you and to this church as you faithfully follow God, His Word, and God's man into the future. Now listen to me carefully. The secondary interpretation of this verse, and that's how it's used mostly by men, the secondary interpretation of this verse is about what God has prepared for us in heaven after this life is over. It's certainly not proper to make that application in this manner. We have not seen nor heard or even imagined all that God has for the redeemed in glory land. It's beyond anything we can comprehend. However, the primary interpretation of this verse has to do with you in this life. It has to do with you as a child of God, as you faithfully yield to God and serve Him in His local church according to His will and His word. And this is what God is saying to you tonight. This is what God is saying to this church tonight. This is what God is saying to our Spanish department tonight. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. You've not yet attained what God wants to give you. You've not grown to the level where God says it's okay, you can stop. There is no comfort zone here. May I stop here and say just a moment to our English church, some of you have found your comfort zone and you like it. You don't want to have to put forth any effort to go soul winning. You don't want to be challenged to give a little more to missions. Or love a little deeper those that are unlovely or unloved. You don't want to be willing to go a little further and care for those that need ministering to. You've reached your comfort zone. And those of you, many of you who used to be bringing people down the aisle that you've personally led to Christ, you don't do it anymore. You let the preacher do it. Let the staff do it. But I'm here to tell you, God intends for us to do it. Not just them, but us to do it. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the hearts of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. I'm here to tell you the work of the Lord Jesus Christ is a God intended for it to be a miraculous work. The problem is our work is so simple today and our ministries are so non-miraculous that we can explain it in human terms. But God says, I've got something available for you beyond anything anybody has ever seen or heard or thought. And I challenge you tonight. And with a new pastor, get a new vision and new commitment and new zeal and do something that's not been done in this area. That's what God wants to do for you. Now let me speak to our Spanish department for a moment. Here over the last few months, the growth has stopped. I've watched it week after week. I've watched those who used to go soul winning stop going soul winning. I've watched those that used to come out on Thursday night or Saturday morning find something else to do on Thursday night or Saturday morning. And instead of the numbers being up in the fours and 450 and 475s, they're already back down into the threes. God has far more for you than you're claiming. God wants to do far more for you than you've been doing. There needs to be a new vision, a new fire, a burning in your soul about the things of God. What a terrible thing it would be to have a gringo preacher care so much about the Spanish department that he started one and couldn't even speak Spanish, and you do speak Spanish and don't care enough about your people to go out and win them and love them and bring them in and teach them so they can know God and live for God. I'm here to tell you, God says to you, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the hearts of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. That's not just for the English. That's for you. That's for you. May God give us courage and faith and vision enough to look beyond where we are. He's writing to Christians in a local church and is reminding them of what God has for them now, not just after they die. Now, if they'll walk in the Holy Spirit and not in the flesh. May I say to you, up to this point, what you have witnessed happening here at Trinity Baptist Church in these past 24 years is nothing compared to what God wants to do for you and through you as you totally yield to His will and His Word. You see, God's looking for Christians with a willing heart, yielded completely to Him and His Word. And when he finds them in his local church, he says, here's my promise. I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the hearts of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. The only thing that will keep you from realizing this promise coming to reality here at Trinity Baptist is your refusal to yield to God and be the servant He wants you to be. Now let me finalize this. Verses 10 on gives us the key, the secret to seeing this promise come to reality. Paul said, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of God, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. I'll stop reading there. You can go on and read on to the fact that the natural man don't understand the things of God. The natural man's not going to understand this promise from God. Because these promises are spiritually discerned. The Holy Spirit opens our eyes, enlightens us, and makes it possible for us to understand the Word of God and the will of God. The secret here to seeing this promise come to reality is we must learn to live and walk in the power and the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. You listen to what I'm about to say. Being saved is not enough to claim this promise. He's looking for Christians that are walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, led of the Spirit. Now, I said being saved is not enough in itself. You see, we're sealed and indwelt by the Holy Spirit when we're saved. Every Christian experiences this at the time of our salvation. All of the Holy Spirit of God moves into our body, and our body becomes the temple of God, and that is called the indwelling and the sealing of the Holy Spirit. But that has to do with our assurance of the finished transaction before God concerning our salvation. The indwelling Holy Spirit is our assurance that we've been born again. He is our witness from within that we belong to God. But that doesn't have anything to do with being filled with the Holy Spirit. The sealing and dwelling of the Holy Spirit is the believer's promise. It's our security in the finished work of Christ until we're with Him in glory. However, The Bible talks about the need of every Christian being filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." Talking about the Holy Spirit. We're told in Galatians 5, verse 18, that we're to be led of the Spirit. In Galatians 5:16 and Galatians 5:25, we're told that we as Christians are to walk in the Spirit. Now that means simply we're to yield to Him and He's to be the guide of our life. He is the pilot, not the co-pilot. It means though He lives in us, it doesn't necessarily mean He controls us until we yield control to Him. Jesus tells us in Luke how that as a father wouldn't deny bread to a son, God won't deny the filling of the Holy Spirit to those who'll ask Him. He wants us to be filled with His Spirit. He wants us to walk in His Spirit. He wants us to be led by the Spirit. He says if we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now this requires a yielding to Him. It requires a submission of our will and plans to God's will and plan. It means to be under the Holy Spirit's control and not flesh's control. It means that we're to die to our fleshly desires and our plans for our life and yield to God and His plan for our life. When God finds Christians in His local church who are yielded and submissive under Holy Spirit control and have died to fleshly desires, then it can be said that they are filled with the Holy Spirit and are about to enjoy the promise that God made. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the hearts of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. And I felt I must say that to you tonight in this final message as your pastor. God wants to use you in a far greater way than you're allowing Him to use you. God wants to do for this church far more than you're willing to allow Him to do because you're not willing to allow Him to do it through your life and through your heart. I challenge you, Spanish department. I challenge you, English department. You come to the place where you make Him preeminent once again, where you seek His will over your will, where you seek to glorify Him more than you seek to be glorified. And before you know it, you'll be seeing things happen that you can't explain except God did it. And this Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex needs that testimony in a church and in Christians once again. God did it. There's a lot of preachers and a lot of churches that are able to tell you how they're getting their crowd, how they're seeing their membership grow. But what we want to do is to be able to say we're doing what we've always done except with a yielded heart and a submissive spirit to Him. And God has done it. God is doing it. I want you to know I love you and I desire God's very best for you. And if you're not experiencing the promise of verse number 9, you're not experiencing the best God has for you. I desire God's best for you. I say again, I love you and thank you for allowing me to be your preacher, your pastor, for these past 24 years. If you could do anything that would honor my ministry, give your life to Him and honor Him. Honor Him. Live to glorify Him. Live to serve Him with all your heart. Live to fulfill His will and purpose. Love what He loves. Do what's closest and nearest to the heart of God. And that's to bring lost sinners to Jesus Christ. To see them baptized and gotten in church and taught and trained so they can grow and do like this couple's going to do tomorrow. They yielded their life to God. They got married here. They've served here. They've learned here. And now they're being sent out to go to Honduras to serve the Lord. I remind you, this promise is for you too, as you go there and serve Him and walk in His Spirit. May God help you to do it. In church, God forbid that we send out young Christians and they are willing to do what God asks us to do, and we grow to that place where we're not willing anymore. Get out of your comfort zone. Get back to the place where you realize this is harvest time. Souls need to be reached. Lives need to be touched for Christ's sake. And there's nobody else in the whole world God expects to do it except His redeemed through His churches. May God help us to do it. Father, that's our message. Speak to our hearts tonight. May we see Your people crying out to You, dying to themselves, yielding totally to Your will. Oh, my God in heaven, would You speak to our hearts tonight in these next few moments? May there be a rededication, a new commitment, a crying out for the filling of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives as individuals, that we might serve You effectively and claim this wonderful promise that God has for us. Speak to our hearts in these next few moments in this invitation.